Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, saints of God, and welcome to another episode of Is This the Church? And I'm your host, Sister AJ. And welcome back. I know I haven't been on here for a couple of weeks because I had to go out of town for a family event, and now I'm back and doing another show for you today. I missed you all, and so let's get started. Now, the last time we were on here, we did a show about a young pastor or a former pastor by the name of Tim Ross. Now, he is a friend and also some sort of mentor to Michael Todd. And so he himself, Tim, has been under some controversy because of comments that he has made, irreverent comments, where he, during a sermon at Transformation Church, which is Mike Todd's church, he made a comment that referred to Jesus as a stripper, because he's saying he took off glory and got naked on the cross for us. And I'm going to play that in order to refresh your memory, since it's been a couple of weeks since the our last show on it. And also after that, we'll get into he has recently put up a response to the backlash he's received for those comments. So we'll look at that, and then later on we'll get into another aspect of Tim where he feels that he has been given special permission by the Holy Spirit to curse and use profane language. So we're going to look at that podcast because that's what he does now. He's just looking back at some of his bio. He started out as a youth pastor at the Potter's House in Dallas under T.D. Jakes. And then after about 10 years there, he started a church in the Dallas area called Embassy City Church, and he was the pastor there for a good while. And then in 2022, he stepped down from his role as the pastor there at Embassy Church, and he decided to go and do a podcast, which is what he's doing now. And it's called, it's on YouTube, and it's called The Basement with Tim Ross. And he has quite a few subscribers now. It's over 200,000 subscribers to that channel. So he has a lot of influence, and so that's one of the reasons we're talking about him and why his irreverent comments and the way he refers to the Lord Jesus and just a lot of other things is why that's a problem, because of the influence that he has. So he is running this podcast for whatever reason. He's technically not a pastor anymore, but it still matters because he still speaks at churches. He still mentors church leadership. Michael Todd is one of those. He's in partnership with them and provides some sort of pastoral oversight. He's a mentor to some of these guys, and he's also under the in partnership with Gateway Church in the Dallas area, which is the church of Robert Morris. And we all know Robert Morris is a heavy tithing doctrine preacher. I think in one sermon years ago he said that we could go to hell if we don't tithe. So that's the kind of spiritual background that Tim Ross has. So we're going to get into this show for the day, and we'll start out by letting you listen to the Jesus as a stripper comment, and I'm just going to show a small clip of it to refresh your memory.
That didn't know what to do with their bread, he made them make it rain. But you know that the enemy's a counterfeit, right? He ain't the first one to make it rain. Literally, he's not the first one to make it rain. I could take you to Genesis to prove to you who the first person was that made it rain. But scripture said that manna came from heaven, and it was bread to them. We don't make it rain on booty cheeks. We don't make it rain on strippers. We only reverence one stripper, and that's the one that took off glory to put on humanity and then get butt naked on a cross to die for both you and me. The only stripper I'm in love with is Jesus. And he's the one that puts that bread in my pocket. That bread in my pocket.
I got bread in my pocket. I got bread in my pocket.
I got bread.
that's the comment that he made concerning the Lord Jesus, referring to what the Bible calls how he emptied himself and became and being born in the likeness of man. It, what he's saying, talking about Jesus took off his glory, but as we know, Jesus did not give up his glory. He was always divine. He's fully man, but also fully God as well. So he didn't leave his divine nature behind when he came here as a man. So it's a flawed view of Jesus humbling himself and became obedient unto death for us. And it really makes light of all that he went through and suffered on behalf of sinful man. So that is the comment that he made. And this was a part of one of their usual money-grabbing type sermons there at Transformation Church. We listened to the entire thing, and it was basically about to help raise money, because you know at periods of time these churches will look over their books and decide that maybe they need to increase the giving, so they come up with these sermon series about giving. And I think this was either part two or three of a series that was taught at Transformation Church, and churches do this periodically to keep the money coming in. So that's what the comments were about. That's the backlash. And so now what we'll do is listen to Tim, because about a week ago he did another one of his podcasts, and this clip came out where he's addressing the things that people are upset about, and this particular clip is talking about the stripper comments, and he's basically doubling down on what he said. So let's listen to Tim on this.
Affected me. I'm a human being, right? So, like, I'm not one of these people that's impervious to pain and to people's criticisms and or critiques. And so, yeah, it affected me. I'm like, oh, man, you know, wow, I'm being called out by a lot of people. And there's a lot of people that are upset about some things that I said, specifically, you know, that Jesus was a stripper. Mm-hmm. I stand by it wholeheartedly. I'm so sorry. I've checked my heart and checked my mind and checked my thoughts and submitted to people I'm accountable to, and mm-hmm. my wife and a bunch of people. And yeah,
now he checked his heart and mind and thoughts, but checked it according to what? The scripture? Because the scripture does not support what he said. At best it was a horrible, disrespectful analogy, and he could have used something better, but you know, at worst, it's complete blasphemy and disrespectful to God. So checked with who? And we all know that a lot of these guys, they're all friends. They're accountability partners. They're not really accountable, because all they do is rubber stamp each other in each other's foolishness. You know, there's no real discipline. And anyone who does say something, they just cut them off and stop dealing with them. So let's continue.
I still stand by it. So, you know, but I realize that some people don't have full context, and some people don't want full context. And if it's wildly offensive and distasteful, I can understand that. There was a guy that, a friend of mine passed along a message from a guy that works with those that have been sex trafficked, mm-hmm. and that was a really good perspective to have, in that something to be mindful of.
Yeah.
I am not oblivious to the sex trafficking world. I have a god sister that was sex traffic. We're dear friends with one of the largest sex trafficking organizations in the world, overseas and in the States. But it was just good to hear another perspective on that. So I understand it. And for the context that I said it in to the congregation that I said it to, I stand by what I said. So, yeah, it affected me. And, you know, stuff goes viral and people will only take 90 seconds. They won't investigate context. And it is what it is. Like, it is, it just is what it is. So it's not one of those things that I hold on to and I feel like I got to go debate people now and I got to go. I'm just never going to be that person, for better or for worse. Like, I'm not a debater. I'm not a very argumentative person. I'm curious about people's context, and I take a lot into consideration and a lot under advisement. And that's that. So I really don't have a lot to say about it besides that.
So with all of it happening, I think it's really easy for people to make content about influential people, and they can pick apart anything.
True.
And their safe place is there in the editing room thousands of miles away from you.
Yeah, for sure.
So there hasn't been people that have confronted you in person, right?
No. Well, they don't want to. Clearly they don't want to, because they probably would have DM'd or found another way to reach out. I'm not hiding from anybody.
Right.
There's actually been a couple of people that have made, like, reaction videos looking dead in the camera, like, I hope he sees this.
Mm-hmm. They're bold there, right? Like, that's a bold thing for them to do in their space, but it's still protected.
Well,
is bold the right word?
Maybe. What's weird to me is that, like, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when I look through the New Testament, I see clear grounds for confrontation.
Yeah.
All of what I see seems to be in person.
Yeah.
And with the advent of technology, people think that because I or anybody puts content out into a public forum, that anybody can personally respond to you.
Yep.
But I didn't personally put it out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. It went out into the public forum, but then you get a personal response from someone that has no relational equity to you.
Right.
Would be a complete stranger on the street. And
so that means you have to know him personally to be able to speak on his blasphemy or heretical teachings. This is ridiculous, and a lot of these guys say that because even when we listen to a response Mike Todd did about that Easter play that he did that everyone was talking about, he mentioned that, you know, these people were talking about me, but they didn't text me or come see me. But a lot of these guys are not reachable in that way, particularly by people that don't know them. And besides that, a lot of people who saw those videos and heard what Tim said, he may not personally put these clips out because he's got a team that handles that for him, but they are his words. It is him talking. It is up there on Transformation Church's YouTube channel, the entire sermon. So the point is, if some people all over the world can see this, so in Tim's reasoning, does that mean everybody who has a problem has to find a way to come see him personally? That's ridiculous. No one's going to do that. They're going to put out their video critique, and if he wants to respond to it, then he's free to do so, but most time he doesn't. You know, these guys are not going to confront. Now, they try to present it as if they're above it all, but when they know they have no real answer for anyone, they just choose to run and hide and not allow any conversation about what they've done or said that people have a problem with, and we're supposed to defend the faith. We're supposed to contend for our faith and give an answer for the hope that's within us. So it's not realistic to expect every YouTuber or whoever puts out content about this to be able to see him personally. And even if they lived close enough where they could get to him personally, I doubt he would meet with any of them. So why would anybody waste time and resources trying to do that?
I'm fascinated by them feeling deputized to, like, go after an individual.
Yeah.
I'm just – so from
– And we're deputized by the word of God. Doesn't Jude say for us to contend earnestly for the faith, to struggle for, to fight for, and not necessarily physically fighting, but we're supposed to get in there and rebuke the false teachers and stuff when we come across them. The Lord Jesus did it. The apostles did it. And so we are commissioned to do that. That's part of it, to call out the false teachers, mark and avoid them. So in 1 Peter 3:15, I'll go ahead and we can listen to that. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we are there to give a defense. We're there to talk about Jesus, be his witnesses, share the gospel with people. That's what we're, as using his word, deputized to do. And sometimes that means contending and calling out false teachers or talking about these guys who say these kinds of irreverent, disrespectful things about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So it's not that we deputize ourselves, that the word of God instructs us to do these things.
Hey, I have it from two perspectives. I have it from a scriptural perspective, and I have it from a street perspective. From the scriptural perspective, it is, hey, I need to talk to that person, right? Like, and I'm not just talking about, like, Matthew 18, right? If you have an offense against your brother, like, Paul confronted Peter to his face when he saw the hypocrisy that he had encountering the Jews. In Galatians, you know, there's other episodes in the book of Acts and in Paul's writings where it's like, hey, I had to address some people. So I have it from that perspective.
Yeah.
And I'm a literalist, and maybe I'm just too old to digitize confrontation. Maybe some younger people see it different, and that's fine. On a street level, you could never talk about somebody to someone else and never address the person personally.
Right.
That could never happen.
But as he just said, we're not on the street. Supposedly he's a brother and sister, a brother in Christ, so we're supposed to be able to address these things with one another, right? So why is he talking about the streets?
That there are ramifications to that that are just range from getting cussed out to getting laid out. You know what I'm saying? To getting sprayed out. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, so from a street level where I'm from, it's like that would never happen. Like, if somebody had a beef with you, they would come directly to you.
Right.
And if they didn't come to you and it was found out they were talking about you but not to you, then that person would be labeled in the community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As somebody that's disreputable, right? And I'm being very kind with my words here. So I don't know what to make of that. You know what I mean? What I know is that in the last 27 years that I've been a believer in Jesus and heard things that I found distasteful or wild in the body of Christ, I just marked that person as someone not to listen to.
Yeah.
Like, personally for me. Like, why would I keep exposing myself to somebody's content that I don't agree with?
Yeah.
We do it to warn others to stay away, mark and avoid. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We might know to stay away from someone, but what about other people who may be vulnerable to them in one way or the other? Just young believers or people who may be looking to the Lord, wanting to know more about him, and then they run across one of these guys. Romans 16 and 17 says, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." So if I know that this is something dangerous for me, and I see one of my brothers and sisters or someone that doesn't know any better that are getting into these folks, wouldn't it behoove us to at least warn them and say, listen, this is somebody you shouldn't listen to, and here's why. And then it's still up to them, but at the same time, they've been warned, like we would do with anything else. I mean, if you go to a bad restaurant where the service or the food was bad, you're going to tell someone, you're going to tell your friends, don't go there. Or if you got to go to a bad mechanic or go somewhere and get your hair cut or your hair done, styled if you're a woman, and that person does a bad job on it, you're going to warn people. So why would it be any different when it comes down to spiritual things?
There's 330 million people in this country. I wouldn't shine a light on somebody that I didn't think was preaching the gospel the way I feel like it should be preached. Like, I wouldn't even bring it to, because there's 330 million people in this country. Not 330,000.
Right.
330 million people in this country. So to say that there's more people that don't know me in this country than do is, like, grossly underestimating that fact, right? There's 330 million people in this country, and I'm never going to agree with everybody.
Yep.
And they're never going to agree with me. And so you just got to kind of let it rest where it is. But it is wild to be in this space, because we're still new in this space.
Yes.
It's just wild to see somebody looking in a camera talking to me.
Yeah, but not. Right.
But doesn't know me? But they talking to me.
Yeah.
Look, so I guess Tim just wants to be able to say all types of heretical, disrespectful things about our Lord, and we're not supposed to counter that. Just leave me alone and let me do what I do. Don't shine the light on me at all.
They're like putting little meme clips and they're being cute with it. So now it's like a sneak diss, but it's not even sneaky. It's like an obvious diss.
Mm-hmm.
And then, look, I was a battle rapper and a stand-up comic. I know a heckler when I see one.
Yeah.
Like, get the F out.
Yeah.
STFU. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah.
This is...
Now, he just did some acronyms and little shortened words for profanity, but we'll get into that part later about his mouth.
This is clearly a sneak diss. Say it with your chest, though. Stand on that.
Yeah.
If you don't like me, say that. If you don't want to fool with me, say that. But don't. The sneak diss is just very, very interesting. And I don't, in Scripture, I don't see, like, that's not even a deal. Like, you know, Paul was, like, really, really clear. Like, I opposed Peter to his face for the hypocrisy that I felt like he had.
Mm-hmm.
When he was with the Jews, he acted one way. When he was with Gentiles, he acted another way. Came straight to their neck.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus came straight to the religious leader's neck. The religious leaders came straight to Jesus' neck.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if you...
We're talking 2,000 years ago where we didn't... 2,000 plus years ago where we didn't have this technology and ability to connect even at long distances. So there's that. You know, they had no other means of confrontation. Yeah, they could send letters and different things, but that took time. So he needs to stop. This is foolishness. So you can only talk to him if you know him and can talk to him face to face. Who, if someone's living in Europe or somewhere on the continent of Africa and they see this and have a rebuke for him, are they supposed to get on a plane and fly all the way over here in hopes to be able to see him and meet with him in person? It's ridiculous.
Up close would be great, because at least I would have context. But the comment section is not a place where I'm going to be able to sort out what you really feel. The DMs ain't either. Well, I DM'd him to let him know. That ain't a conversation.
Yeah.
It's a freaking DM. I can't even pick up your tone. And I don't
right.
know you. Sometimes
right.
I can't pick up the tone of my friends, which is why we have to use emojis.
Yeah.
Like, hey, da-da-da-da-da. And I have to put the laughing emoji to let them. You didn't even. How am I supposed to interpret that?
Yeah.
I ain't reading that.
Yeah.
So, and we're not in the same Christian circles. It's not like I preached at your church one weekend, and then the next weekend I said something reckless, and you were like, hey, man, you just preached in my pulpit. Now you said something that I don't agree with, and I'm like, I'm not even in your world. Why do you care?
Yeah.
Why care? Because the Lord says to care. We're supposed to care about our fellow brothers and sisters, particularly those that may be vulnerable for whatever reason. And then also, Jesus warned us to be aware of deceivers and to warn others. So we're supposed to care because our good shepherd cares for and about his sheep. And scripture on that, you can look at Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. You can look at John 10, where he's talking about that again. So Jesus makes it clear how he feels about his people. And we should care too. Especially when he is blaspheming our Lord and making it as if it's okay for people to do that. And what are people who are new to the faith or maybe, you know, thinking about the Lord Jesus, and then they get into one of these churches under one of these pastors or podcasters or whatever he is, because even though he's not a pastor, he's still very closely affiliated with the church. He does a lot of speaking in the church. So people could be unduly influenced to think it's okay to be irreverent toward the Lord, and it's not okay.
So I'm fascinated by that, but I won't know even that question. Like, I'm not even in your world. Why do you care? I won't know that until I talk to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so if I see you, don't act brand new.
Mm.
And if you see me, don't act brand new. Like, just come straight up to me and say exactly what you said. Say exactly what you said.
Yeah.
In that video. To my face. Say exactly what you wrote in the comment section. To my face. This is not a threat. This is not a, I'm coming after you. Just, if you were that passionate about it, in the comment section or in a DM or in the video, say it to my face. Because I would respect you more if I got to have the engagement in the one-on-one, and I would have context to who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you would have context to who I am. And perhaps we can find a middle ground. But if we don't, I'm cool with that as well. Because I also find that in scripture as well. So, I mean, so I'm just trying to live by the words I preach. I'm not mad at nobody. And this is not like, and we got to stop acting like we out here, like we just saved until somebody disagrees with us and now I'm going to smack you in the face.
Mm.
Like, this ain't, we ain't got no damn rap beef. Can we just be honest?
No.
Ain't nobody got no rap beef. If you don't like.
I have no idea who he's talking about, because any commentary that I've seen about him, no one's threatening him, no one's doing anything like that. They're just taking what he's saying and measuring it by the word of God and found it lacking. But he doesn't think that people should be saying anything. It's not about whether you know him or can speak to him in person. These guys just don't like being criticized. So they come up with all these smoke screens to try to justify what they're doing and to say that you have no right to say anything to them about it, especially if you don't know them. And they're always talking about context and editing and showing just little small clips, but there's even the context doesn't help them. And most of them that I've watched have tried to show enough context where you understand what's going on. But even if you watch the entire sermon or whatever it is, if you got access to it, it doesn't, context doesn't help them. That's just more of an indictment against them in a lot of cases. And also because of rules on a lot of these platforms like YouTube, for an example, it's hard to examine the entire sermon on a lot of these things because they get hit for copyright strikes. That's another thing these guys do. They go after people saying they're with copyright infringement, so you can't go over the whole sermon in order to get context. But when they use the clips, then it's like, well, you're taking me out of context. Just can't win with these guys. Either somehow they're going to find a way to slither out of being held accountable, but you know what? They can't get away from being held accountable by the Lord. And it's going to be very interesting how they try to explain this to Jesus when they have to face him on that great day.
But I said, you don't like what I said, but don't act like we're going to fight when we see each other.
Right.
Like, be passionate about your side and about your convictions and stuff, but don't act like we're going to fight when we see each other. I need to hire my kids and hire my wife, and now I need to be strapped up. The hell, dude.
Yeah.
If this is truly a disagreement within the body,
right,
as brothers and sisters, let's keep it in the family.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to argue in the same way Chris Rock said at the end of his special. We're not going to fight in front of white people.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fight in front of sinners.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you in the public square
and have these
sinners thinking, here's how they'll know that you are mine, by your love for one another, not your freaking arguments. You don't like that I said Jesus was a stripper? Cool. Holla at me, but don't take it to the public square and give sinners yet another reason to say they're so divided with one another. Get back in the damn Bible, fam. Stop playing. So that's what I got to say on that.
All right. Now, what he said about love, and they like to go there. You know, God is love, and he is, but he is righteous, he is holy, and as a righteous judge, he will judge sin and punish sin. You know, with the wicked will be subject to his wrath. Psalm 7:10 and 11 says, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. So, yes, he's love, but he deals with the wicked justly as well, but that's something they don't like to talk about. And then he said about not putting it in the public square, but, you know, what you said was in the public square. There was nothing secret about it. You allowed the clips to be put out there. As I said, that sermon was at Transformation Church, and to this day it's still up on their YouTube channel. So they just don't want to be rebuked for what they're doing, and they don't want people talking about it. I believe it's because it messes with their money potentially, you know, because they're making a lot of money doing these things that they're doing, and mainly off of church folk. Even though Tim is not a pastor of a church anymore, most of his audience are church people or people looking, searching, who may be looking for Jesus, and they're not finding him in places like this or on podcasts with individuals like this. So he's basically just saying, shut up, don't say anything about what I'm doing, which, you know, the Bible says otherwise. We are supposed to confront these things. And people want to make 100 videos about it. They feel that that's what the Lord would have them do, then let have at it. You know, there's ways that Tim could get in touch with these folks for a talk if he really wanted to. I don't believe he wants to. So the next thing, and you heard, especially there toward the end where he was using some profanity, and I should have done this earlier, but you just don't think that you should have to do a parental advisory or language advisory when you're talking about a preacher and supposedly a brother in the Lord. But here we go, because in the next clip we're going to listen to is a podcast that he did about a month ago where this may be in response to some of the backlash he's been getting about his language and different things that people have seen him or heard him say over when clips come out on the internet. So the title of this one is This Is Not a Christian Podcast. He talks about Christian things sometimes, but now he's claiming it's not a Christian podcast. And so we're going to get into this, and he's going to use some profane language and some obscene things. So I'm just warning you in advance and to use your best judgment on whether you want to hear it or to at least make sure your children are not listening, because he's going to get to some parts. And I'll try to warn you when those are about to come up, but in case I forget, he's got a potty mouth. So this next video is talking about him cursing, and he claims that he has special permission from the Holy Spirit to do this. So let's listen.
That sends us diving straight into the Bible, and sometimes it sends us diving straight into humanity and just grappling with it. So that's where we are today. So what are we getting into today, boys?
There's a few things to get into.
Yep.
We do have a few people who sent some questions in.
Sweet.
Regarding culture and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we had a great conversation before we got started today.
Yep.
And it was in regards to a post that we had made last night with your interview with AJ.
Phenomenal
interview. Please go listen to it with AJ Ramos and Tim Ross. It was amazing.
Yep.
But I think this might have been the first time we made a post on social media where you said, hell no, in regards to the story that you were telling. So
Yeah.
Do you want to kind of walk us through what you were sharing this morning about that?
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things that the Holy Spirit told me when we started the pod was the same voice that you have used privately to mentor and to disciple people, that's the voice that I want you to use publicly. Well, that scared me. Because I was like, I'm going to get canceled. Bottom line, because you know how I talk in private. Let's be honest. The way most people talk in private is not the way they talk in public. Let's put that on the, let's put that out there first. I just so that we're not walking around like we're some victims, right? The majority of people don't talk publicly the way they talk privately. If all of your text messages had to be disclosed today, would any of us be able to stand? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, so.
Okay, so he's getting, and he'll allude to this quite a bit in this podcast, where he's saying how people behave in public is different than their private behavior. And to some degree, that's true. We may be a little bit more relaxed or whatever, but that doesn't mean everyone who does that is different behind closed doors, has a potty mouth. And that's what he's justifying here, that, you know, I do this in public, I'm in private, but so I should be able to do it in public. But the thing with this is, he, you know, a couple scriptures here, he is supposedly has been a believer for a long time. He's in his 40s, and I think he said in the 90s is when he became a believer, and he's been a preacher for a long time. So he's supposed to be a mature Christian, I would imagine. But and Romans says, Romans 6, I'm going to begin at verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we do not serve sin. So basically the old man is passing away. That's Romans 6, 1 through 6. The old man is passing away. You're not supposed to still be doing these kinds of things in, you know, public, and probably even lesser overtime in private, because we get it, you know, particularly when we're new believers, we might, if we cursed a lot, we back in the day, we might still let one go every now and then, but it's supposed to be a sanctification process where we mature and we don't do those things that we used to do anymore. Let's see, another scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So, if we're a new creature, those things that we used to do, we don't desire to do those things anymore. But that as fallen, flawed individuals, sometimes we do still fall back into sin, but we should have a repentant attitude towards it. When the Holy Spirit tugs at us about those things, we should be able to repent and go forward with that. But this guy is basically saying it's okay to do it and be proud of it, it with no repentance and no nothing, and that's just not Bible. But let's continue.
That was a very scary thing for God to tell me, because I'm like, you know how I talk when I'm in private. Like, I use much stronger language privately than I would ever use publicly. Why would I ever use that language preaching a sermon? It would never come up.
It would never even be a thing that crosses my mind. I have never in 27 years even come close to, you know, more colorful language coming out of my mouth. So I'm like, when I'm talking to my mentees and when I'm talking to those that I'm disciples, sometimes we get into certain conversations where I feel very, very comfortable using stronger language. What most people would call obscene, I call normal. I grew up with this language. You know what I'm saying? And so, and there's some people that it is just wild to them. Like, how could a dude that I've been listening to publicly talk like this on a mic? I'm so sorry to disappoint you. I've always talked like this. I've never not talked like this. You just never heard it. Because there was never a conversation where it was ever going to come up. So in reference to the clip you're talking about, the clip you put out, right?
I had so much anxiety. While I was making it, I'm like, okay, first off, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It is authentically who Tim is.
Period.
And I know he wouldn't have any problem being himself
right.
in front of anybody.
Right, for real.
But I did have the fear of like, man, I don't want to misrepresent Tim, but I'm like, but I'm not, because it's Tim.
Yeah, for sure. So let's give context to that, because you had anxiety, and I have anxiety every week when clips come out. Now.
And maybe these guys are so anxious about these clips is because somewhere deep down they know it's wrong for him to be doing this. And how does Tim get around, let's see, Ephesians chapter 4, among others? We'll look at Ephesians 4, and starting at verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And this is the key verse, verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And this next thing is important, too, which will, because he's claiming the Holy Spirit gave him permission to do this. Verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. So why would the Holy Spirit tell him to do something that grieves him, unless he's claiming special permission that the Holy Spirit hasn't given to anyone else? So it would grieve the Holy Spirit when someone else does it, but Tim can curse all he wants to and it's no big deal. Is that what he's saying here? The Holy Spirit would never give him permission to do this. It's against the word of God. It's against his character and nature. Why would he do that? This is blasphemy to say the Holy Spirit is okay with this.
This is an anxiety that is slowly coming off of me, but I've been preaching for 27 years. I've been standing up for 27 years preaching. I've only been sitting down for a few months talking. And so I stand by every word that comes out of my mouth, right or wrong. Because I have the freedom to change my mind about anything I ever put out, and if I do, I'm going to come back and say, I shouldn't have said that like that. This shouldn't have been said like this. I actually don't agree with that anymore. I've
grown in this area, blah, blah, blah. I've learned some new stuff, whatever. And so I stand by everything. But when we're done with a pod, as long as y'all felt comfortable with it, as long as Juliet feels comfortable with it, run it. I don't – you don't run clips past me. I just want to stop for real quick and just talk to content creators real quick. But I want to talk
Okay, so he's basically saying I stand by everything I said, you know, but in Matthew 12, Jesus talks about how every word will be judged. Does he really want that smoke from Jesus? Because at the end of the day, he could tell us whatever and blow us off, but he's not going to be able to do that with the Lord. So, you know, he needs to be careful what he's asking for. You truly stand by that? Are you sure? So, but that just shows the arrogance of a lot of these guys, you know. But how does he get around these scriptures that talk about our mouth and our tongue? You know, James 3 is another whole chapter that deals with our mouth, the tongue. But let's look at Colossians 3. 9 and 10, where it says, lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge and the image that created him. So, that once again, putting off the old man. Ephesians, that talks about the filthy communication. It's in enough places in Scripture where we as believers understand that the Lord does not approve of us engaging in sin and also being a stumbling block to others who may see this and hear this stuff. And I'm just guessing here, but maybe what has happened with Tim is that he's been caught a number of times publicly using perverse, profane, and obscene language, and now he's just getting tired of trying to hide it, and he wants to justify using it whenever he wants. But he's ignoring all the scriptures that say otherwise.
Me to the principal, the person that's hosting, or the person that actually puts out they're the talent. That's what. Thank you. I want to talk specifically to the talent, the principal talent. Don't frustrate your producers.
Can you say that louder?
Don't frustrate your producers. Don't stifle your creative team. You don't know what looks good. Let me pause. The majority of you don't know what looks good on camera. You don't know what clip is going to really hit. You don't know. A couple of people know. I can only think of a couple of people. But the majority, let your creative team be your creative team. You can't be the principal talent and the creative director. If you are, do everything yourself. Edit it yourself. If everything got to run past you, you've depowered the person you said you've empowered. Hey, that's my lead technical creative director or whatever. But if they got to run everything by you, you're the lead. They're your assistant. So call them what they are and then pay them accordingly. I guess you need more money in your pocket. So Juliana, Huli's back from her trip in Poland.
Hey.
Juliana does all things social media. The only place that Juliana and I converge is in Instagram, because Instagram is my platform of choice, right? And so I'm in there talking to the people that are in my primary DMs. I want to get that straight or whatever. I may see somebody that's in the general or whatever. Juliana responds to those people. If I respond to a person, you'll never know that I responded, because Juliana sounds just like me, and I sound just like Juliana. Right? But I'm not going behind her. Like, hey, I know Juliana responded to you, but I also want to say, or, hey, Juliana, can you write this, like, what are we doing?
not going to frustrate you, you, or you. Y'all are greater what y'all do, or you wouldn't be here, right? So Hector does not run clips past me. He puts clips out, and then I get anxiety when I hear the clip. I have no anxiety when I'm doing a pod. Anything that comes out of my mouth, I'm like, yep, said it, and we're done. Clip comes out, I'm like, oh, Jesus, the Pharisees are going to stone me.
There is sometimes where I will hit you if it is a really sensitive topic.
Absolutely
correct. That just needs a lot of context.
Absolutely correct.
That can't be in 90 seconds.
That's exactly right. Case in point, when I said that I'm raising black men and not, I'm either raising black men for promises or niggas for prison. I did not want that to be a clip, right? There's no context that you could give in 90 seconds to that statement. You know what I mean? Other than that, we're out, right? So the clip with AJ, he was saying, I forgot even what he was saying, but all I know is my response was, hell no. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you don't know what the Lord is saying. And when you don't know what the hell he's saying, right? Now, I don't read comments. I don't read. No comments, no more. This is the covenant I made with y'all.
Yes.
I'm not in the comment section no more. I make content. Let me look in this camera. I make content. That is my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You can make comments. That is your opportunity. I have a responsibility. You have an opportunity. So I'm going to let you have your opportunity. We have not shut those comments off, right? You can make a comment. My responsibility is to make content. It is not to make a comment under my content. It is not to debate your comment under my content. We make content. You can make comments. I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to let you stay in yours. Okay. So with that out of the way, I said hell no, then I said, you know, sometimes you don't know what the hell he's doing, blah, 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 blah. And then I have two God sisters. Bless them.
And it's not saying there's not a biblical context for hell, but in the way that he uses it, it's mostly used in a profane way. And then it's like, you know, he said he's been preaching for 27 years and he's got all this time, but what happened to the verses that talk about how we're supposed to glorify God in our body and do everything as unto him for his glory? There's all kinds of things in here that shows that there should be some level of maturity as we go along where we have no desire to do these things. And if we do, for whatever reasons, we're quick to confess our sins and repent and receive forgiveness from the Lord. If, like John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So I'm not saying that any believer that ever slips up and lets a spicy word go is forever condemned. There's a way we can repent of those things and continue to grow and mature and be sanctified by the leading of the Holy Ghost. That's one of the things he does. He helps with our sanctification after we are justified by being born again by believing on Jesus Christ. But he's been preaching all this time, and he still thinks that this stuff is okay. I mean, I'm dumbfounded. I mean, why not just say that, you know, instead of saying you're a brother in Christ, just do your podcast, make it more of a self-help type thing, stop speaking in churches and dealing with churches, then what you're doing would be fine. But because you're calling yourself a believer and you're citing your credentials as a preacher for 27 years, then you have a higher standard to meet, and it's not a standard from us, it's one from God. More is required of him as a preacher and a teacher, and he does still do that even though he's not a pastor of a church. Don't let him fool you.
My God sisters choose violence every day. They are the equivalent of women warriors in Wakanda, right? Or in the Woman King. In either one of those movies, these are my sisters. They will stab you. right? They want all the smoke. They are ready. They are waiting for me to give them the green light to smoke people in the comment section. Now, before I told them to calm down, they were smoking people in the comment section. You do not want it with these two. I don't want it with those two, okay? They're brilliant girls. They're brilliant minds. And so they sent me a screenshot, and there were, like, you know, two or three comments. Stop cussing. Watch your mouth. Watch your language. And I'm like, dude, I'm an emo. I'm an empath. And so, oh my God, I knew it. We ain't taking it down, but I knew it. I knew you were going to throw something at me. Right? And listen, these people mean well. They're not haters. Everybody ain't no hater. Right? They have different convictions, and they have a different lens. They're not haters. They want to support me. They can't get past my mouth. I get it. Oh, my God, I get it. Oh, I get it. And, again, when the Lord told me, this is the way I want you to talk, I'm like, I don't think you want me to do it. And I know there's some people.
So rather than saying the devil made him do it, he's saying the Lord made him do it. The Lord is forcing him. He really doesn't want to, but the Lord is forcing him to be public with his potty mouth. Please.
That I even going to disagree, God would never tell you to talk like that. You're entitled to your opinion, right? So I'm like, okay, Jesus, like, oh, dang, you know, dang, okay, it just.
When someone says the Holy Spirit would never tell him to talk like that, that's not an opinion, that's fact. It's Bible fact. It's against his character and nature to cause people to sin. And in John 16, let's go there really quick. Okay. Where Jesus is talking to the disciples about the Holy Spirit coming, John 16:13-14. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak. This is the part that occurred to me. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So just like the Lord Jesus did what his Father told him to do, said what the Father wanted him to say, the Holy Spirit will do that too. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So the Holy Spirit isn't going to deviate and say, well, I'm just going to tell Tim it's okay for him to be profane and obscene, even if no one else can do it. He's not going to do that.
That's what it. And then I woke up this morning. I'm laying in the bed, and the Holy Spirit reminds me of the fishing trip we went on in Australia. And we go on this fishing trip in Australia, and the guy, our captain, he baited all of our hooks. We went, when he picked us up from the, it was really baller, because we chartered a boat, and he actually brought the boat to the house to pick us up, because the boat was backed up to a water channel. So we come out the back door, we get on the boat, and he drives to the this fishing place to get bait, fresh bait. Worms and shrimp. So he baits all of our hooks, okay? Deep sea fishing, he baits all of our hooks. And what he does is he doesn't just hook the worm on the thread. He long worms, he breaks the worm in half. I can't say breaks, it's a worm. He tears the worm in half and literally threads the body of the worm through the hook. It's like the craziest thing. He threads the body of the worm through the hook so you can't see the hook at all. Then he's like, cast it into the sea, right? And then with the shrimp, he just snaps the heads off the shrimp, and He literally threads the hook through the beheaded shrimp all the way up to the tail. So when you throw it in, it just looks like a little shrimp is floating in there. And we caught, when I tell you we caught fish. He baited those.
I just want to stop it here to give a language advisory. He's going to say something really obscene in this portion. It's probably coming up next here, so just use your discretion on this part.
So well. And I can't resist the double entendre. He was a master baiter.
Yeah.
The double entendre is just too good for me.
Yes.
This dude was a master baiter.
So basically what he said, he can't resist the double entendre. He's basically saying he has no self-control. That's what I get out of it. And isn't the fruit of the part of the fruit of the spirit self-control, where you just have, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have control over our flesh and what it wants to do. But he just couldn't resist being obscene here. He could have just continued on with the story without saying that, but he just couldn't help himself.
Oh, he baited the hooks, threw them in. That's my rap coming out. I can't. It's a good metaphor, man. It's a good metaphor. Okay. So he throws it all out, and we caught a bunch of fish. All kind and different kinds of fish, right? And so I'm laying in the bed, and this morning the Holy Spirit says, Tim, your language is bait for the people that I want you to reach.
Lies, all lies. Look, when you talk about bait, and I get it, when you're in the natural, when you're fishing or hunting and stuff, you'll use different methods depending on what you're trying to catch, what your prey is. And see, that's the thing you got to think about. He's talking about using guile. And guile is basically craftiness, deceit, cunning. And it's basically you being charming in a deceptive way, sort of like the serpent was with Eve. This is serpentine talk here, because the Bible makes it clear that there was no guile in the Lord Jesus. He did not operate in guile or deception or trickery. He didn't bait people into listening to him, you know. He even commended Nathanael, his disciple, when he first called him, because there was no guile in him. So 1 Peter 3:10, I think that's where I'm at. He's talking about using deceptive ways in order to catch people, and I just don't believe that the Lord would commission Tim to do this. Well, you got to talk this way with people who you're trying to reach. 1 Peter 3:10, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So we're not trying to get people and draw them to the Lord by using baits and traps and trickery and deceit, because the way he described baiting the hook, that's basically what it was doing, deceiving the desired prey, which was deep sea fish, to believe they're getting a meal when they're actually being lured into something destructive. So it seems that that's what Tim is doing. Guile is a tool of Satan. Jesus didn't use it. God hates lies. He hates deceit and trickery. And Tim is of the wicked one, if he's justifying using trickery. In fact, that rarely works. You know, when people are drawn to the Lord, drawn to God's people, they're drawn to the light, not darkness. But Tim is deciding that he wants to make people comfortable in sin and not that they don't have to change. And that's not what the Bible teaches us. When I gave my life to the Lord just thinking I was attracted because church folk was different from me, and I wanted that. And some people may have had these experiences where people are attracted to you. They're always asking you questions, coming to you, because they see you're different than everybody else. You react to things different. You carry yourself different, and they come and ask. And then you get the opportunity to share with them through that. But Tim is saying, they're wallowing in the mud, so I'm going to get down and wallow too. And that's just not Bible.
I was like, how come you didn't tell me this when I first started? I would have been so much better prepared. Because I love people and I don't like disappointing people. And I'm not a people pleaser, but I love people and I don't like disappointing people. I wish you'd have told me this up front. But again, when the Lord tells you to do stuff that's uncomfortable, you just got to shed the layers of what you believe, how you believe, how you've done it. Because I would normally, I would never even consider that. But he said, your language is bait for the people I want you to reach.
So once again, he's saying the Holy Spirit is making him do this. You know, so when you hear him cursing and being obscene, you know, don't blame me. This is God's fault because he told me to do it. And the Lord would never do that, because if you look at James, once again, first chapter 13 and 14, it talks about how the fact that God does not tempt us to sin. When we sin, we do it because we're tempted and drawn away by our own lust. But God does not tempt us. So in this fishing trip, he's describing trickery or deception in order to ensnare. And so keep that in mind. It's a little different than what the Lord was talking about. I know the apostles or many of them were fishermen, but Jesus was not calling them to use deceptive practices or to get out and do the things that sinners were doing to attract them.
And if there's people that are saying, stop, you're cussing, hell, damn.
Yeah.
Not B, not F, not MF, not a-hole. And I'm comfortable with those words.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a reason to say them right now, so you know what I mean? Good Lord have mercy. I just realized if that's the response, you're not the person I'm trying to catch.
So
this is bait.
Yeah.
This is deep sea fishing. This is not a few minnows in the shallow.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get to some people that are not listening to my preaching clips. Well, you don't have to stoop that low and start cussing to reach the... No, I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm going to look dead in this camera again. This is the way I've always done. I'm so sorry to disappoint you. I don't want you to think I've always talked like this.
Mm-hmm.
I've always talked like this. I'm not going to mentor everybody. I'm not going to disciple everybody. But there's certain people, they don't even hear you until you cuss.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many people I've had to cuss at to make them like, oh,
mm-hmm.
snap. Now I hear you. I'm like, good Lord, have mercy. I used all my big words. I have a vast vocabulary. I've spent several years with that dictionary, and you didn't hear me until I said sugar, honey, iced tea.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I'm after a certain type of person, and those people don't even hear me until
I talk like them.
And see, here's the thing. When he talks about the people that he's after talk like that, but the thing is, when a person doesn't want to hear the gospel, it doesn't matter how you say it. You give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's up to the people that your audience at the time to either accept it or reject it. But it's not one of those things where you're supposed to change it or change how you present things just because they're into certain things. Because using his logic, then is it okay to go out and become a drug dealer just because you're trying to win drug dealers to the Lord, or prostitutes or anything else? And sure, the Lord Jesus himself was around certain folks that were considered the dregs of society, a lot of them, but he was not engaging in sinful behavior along with them. He was teaching them, he was healing them, whatever, and ministering to their needs, but he wasn't engaging in the activities. And to be honest, from what I'm reading in the Gospels, they weren't doing the things they normally do around him most of the time. Yeah, they were eating food and things like that, but it wasn't debauchery going on when Jesus was among them. So, I mean, this guy is a liar. He's the father of lies. He's a savage wolf. He's one of the guys that Paul was warning the elders about in Ephesus in Acts 20, where he talked about the savage wolves that would come in and draw disciples among themselves, and rather than disciples of Christ, because we all know that no man comes to the Father except that the Father draw him anyway. God grants repentance. And when Jesus is lifted up, he does the drawing. So we can put the gospel out there, talk to people, share with them, but God has to do that redemptive work. We plant and water, and he gives the increase. That's the way it works. So it seems that Tim and a lot of these guys feel like they have to be profane and worldly because it gets them what they want, which is disciples unto themselves, people in their churches or looking at their podcasts and giving them money ultimately.
What makes me relatable to them? Talk like them. I know. And you know too. Okay, you don't use the language. Most of y'all listen to it.
Okay, another language alert. He's going to talk about music, and he's going to mention a particular song that was out and very popular that is very vulgar and profane. And he is not going to make any effort to censor himself.
Hmm.
Rap music.
Yep.
Okay. Cardi B and what's her name? Meg Thee Stallion. Okay. Wet Ass Pussy. Mm-hmm. Do you know what the clean version of Wet Ass Pussy is? Wet and gushy. Which is worse? Can you even clean that up?
No.
That's not even cleanable. That's the alternative?
Yeah.
Just keep it WAP. Why should it be WAG? Wet and gushy? Good Lord. What is this, a super soaker?
Yeah.
What's happening over there? Right? We need a mop. Stop. Right? So I'm like, I can't be afraid. This is not your assignment.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. This ain't your assignment. Right? This is deep cover work.
Yeah.
We are going deep cover. Now,
we're not supposed to be undercover Christians. We're supposed to be that light in darkness, that city that sits on a hill. So what is he talking about? We're not supposed to be hidden.
We're not going deep cover and abandoning that we are believers in Jesus. And we're, it's not like, yeah, we're, what? God? Who's God? We ain't that deep cover. But I use the language of the Chaldeans. Trying to reach Babylonians. It's the way they talk. And it just so happens it's the way I talk. So,
And that's really what it's about. It's the way he talks, and he wants to justify using that language all the time. And trying to reach the Babylonians, I thought of Daniel and the other young Hebrews and how they impressed the king by not eating his food or bowing down to his idols and trusting God. They were different. They behaved differently, and that's what got them noticed, and they found favor with the king because of that. They weren't eating his food and doing everything that everyone else was doing.
You know what I mean? I might not reach a businessman with this podcast. I might just be reaching, you know what I mean?
No, I take that back.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I take that back. You know how many businessmen be cussing?
Listen, I can't tell you how many lead pastors be cussing. I can't tell you how many green rooms I've been in where lead pastors are cussing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Ha-ha, key. And then, and I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know. What y'all call cussing, I don't call cussing.
So I love the analogy of colorful language.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my head, I got a color crown box,
mm-hmm.
and I have all my colors,
mm-hmm.
and I happen to choose some vibrant ones.
Yep.
And I've had many conversations with people about this because I'm like, it's a next level for me.
Yeah.
Some things are awesome.
Yep.
Some things are funky green awesome, and I'm gonna grab that funky green and I'm gonna color that scene.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Yeah.
And I've always had the analogy of if I'm standing in front of a Van Gogh painting,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, oh my God, this is funky green beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And someone down the corner turns to their friend or their son,
mm-hmm.
and says, "Man, you're never gonna amount to nothing."
Mm.
There's a curse in one of those sentences,
yeah.
and it's not the one that I use funky green in.
So, okay, we're making a lot of people's butt cheeks tighten right now.
Oh, for sure.
Right.
I could have gone with fuchsia.
I just want to say, this pod is not a campaign for cussing. It's not a campaign for bad language, obscenities, vulgarities, right? There are some things.
Of course it is. That's all he's done is use obscenities and vulgarities throughout this podcast so far.
That are just vulgar, right? What we're talking about is not that. What I'm talking about is not that. What I'm talking about is we have created a space. Again, the way that you have talked to people privately, that's the voice that I want you to use publicly. This is a safe space. I told you what Brené Brown said, and I have empirical data to prove. What humanity does the most is a lot of cussing and a lot of praying. And when I get people in the basement, and they're going through the throes and the challenges of life, I hear a lot of prayers, and I hear a lot of very colorful language. They use funky green to describe how bad the marriage is. They use a extreme fusion of orange and blue,
mm-hmm.
to describe the pain of being abused by their spiritual leader.
And perhaps so, but does that mean it's okay for him to do it as a counselor, as a former pastor, is still a preacher and supposedly a believer in Christ who's been one for a long time? Does that make it okay when people are going through their processes and talking to you that they might use some language, but how does that justify what he's doing?
And all I'm saying is, I hold space for that. And judge it how you feel like you need to judge it. I use this language. I don't use all the time. There's no need.
Well, it's not us as a judge he needs to be worried about. It. Ultimately, it's the Lord Jesus that he has to, and the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and it appears that he's taken that too lightly. And I'm going to skip a little bit ahead here where he talks about his target audience, and he alluded to this before. You know, if you don't like the language, then you're not the one he's trying to reach. But he elaborates that on that a little bit.
But my target audience was a biracial girl who was 30 years old and had a successful career. That's who I was talking to. That's who I made my messages for. When I walked out there every weekend now, we had five generations represented. Literally, five generations represented. I was only talking to her. She was, I think the whole, it was a biracial girl, 30-year-old biracial girl, who loved God, is generous, and wants to be plugged into community. That's who I'm talking to. That's not a very evangelistic target audience if I'm talking to somebody that already loves God. But I'm not an evangelist. I'm an apostle. So I strengthen the relationship that people already have with Jesus so that they can go out and be ambassadors for Christ. That was the whole premise of Embassy City. Now, most people don't want to do a target audience because you leave somebody out. Of course you're going to leave somebody out. There's 8 billion people on earth. And too many subcategories, or else you wouldn't have as many churches as there is, right? If it was one size fits all, then we should have a few churches that have 100,000 people each or 500,000 people each. But the reason why you can find a Wendy's on one corner, a Burger King on one corner, a McDonald's on one corner, and a Jack in the Box on one corner is because somebody wants a square patty from Wendy's. I don't know why they want that square patty from Wendy's. I don't even know how. You can't mash a patty into a square. You gotta put that in like a little, you know what I'm saying? Play-Doh rectangle.
It's never frozen, though.
It's a square, man. Somebody wants meat with corners on it?
I'm not kidding.
They want the little corners dripping off the side of their bun. It's a circular bun with a square patty, fam. Maybe they want it to fit the cheese. I don't know. But that person that likes Wendy's is never going to Burger King. The person at Burger King wants lines on their burger. Flame broiled, right? They want lines on it, right? Don't give me no patty that doesn't have lines. I might want to write in between these lines. I might want to color in between these lines. I want a burger with lines in it, right? So they have lines in their burger. The person that wants lines in their burgers is never going to McDonald's. McDonald's has a patty that never looks like the commercial. Ever. The Big Mac you see on that commercial, when you get there, that little shriveled up, you be lifting it up like, there ain't no two pieces of meat in here. That little meat be trembling under there like, just eat me already. Put me out of my misery.
They gave me Nemo, man.
You're just sitting under there shivering. You got this soggy little bun all deflated in there. And you're like, where's the big in this Mac? So this is a Big Mac. And there's like 11 diced onions on there that you can count. It just looks like they sprinkled. It's like 11. And that's the Big Mac. And the person that eats at McDonald's doesn't want the heart attack Jack in the Box is going to give you. Jack in the Box is like, oh, you're going to get a patty and cheese and patty and bacon and cheese and bacon and patty and die.
Gravestone.
That's Jack in the Box trying to kill people overtly. You know what I mean? Come have a heart attack. For $4.99 combo meal, come die today.
I'll call it a jack attack, but yeah.
Jack attack is exactly what it is, right? Well, dude, in the same way, that's why there's so many churches. Do we need another church? We need more churches because there's more personalities and people groups, and people are drawn to certain leaders and all that kind of stuff. And so, dude, I'm not tripping off it, but I'm not for everybody. The church was not for everybody. You're not going to reach everybody at your church. Let me say this to the lead pastor. Let me say this to the youth pastor of a youth group, a young adult. You ain't going to reach everybody. Reach the people, but you need to build a culture. You need to know who you're talking to. If you're just shotgunning it, and if you need Bible, child, I keep trying to tell y'all, none of this stuff comes out of the back of my butt. It's not coming out of the side of my neck, man. I got Bible for all of this. Jesus had a target audience. I'm a case closed, shut this thing so we don't have to do this for 20 minutes. Jesus had a target audience. You know who his target audience was? The lost sheep of Israel. That's who he was called to. He wasn't called. He died for the whole world. He wasn't called to the whole world. He's called to the lost sheep of Israel. That's who he was talking to. That's the audience he was trying to reach. Did some other people, like, oh, man, I'm inspired by that. Yeah, I ain't talking to you. The Syrophoenician comes up to him, and is like, please, my daughter's sick. He's like, I'm not supposed to give the bread to the dogs. He's basically telling her, you are not my target audience. I'm not even coming for you. Mm-hmm. I'm dying for you, but I ain't talking to you. So even the dogs get the crumbs that's under the master's table. This is what happens when you're not easily offended. You can get a blessing. Ooh, I just gave somebody something right there. I just gave somebody something right.
Yeah, you just gave them a bunch of foolishness. Okay, let's talk about this target audience. It's a worldly method of marketing and audiences and all that kind of stuff so you can target your product to get the most sales and all that. So he's using worldly methods to try to do spiritual things, which is not going to work. The gospel, that's the power of God unto salvation. And so he talked about the woman that he's speaking to in the church, and he uses this woman because she has a man in her life, and he uses that, he speaks to her in order to maybe get the man. And it's like, well, isn't that what the serpent did? And Tim is what Jesus described in Matthew 23:15, where he goes all over the world looking for a proselyte and makes him twice the son of hell as he is. So that's what he is doing. He's a blind guide leading others into the ditch. And when he spoke about Jesus's target audience, true, Jesus did tell the Canaanite woman that he was called to the lost sheep of Israel, and it's about what his priority was. But that, as we know, Jesus had compassion and on it, lots of people who were Gentiles. He ventured into Gentile territory all the time. What about the woman at the well? And after he spoke to her, he spent a couple of days in Samaria. He healed the centurion's servant and also this woman, which, by the way, he talked about, if you're not easily offended, you can get a blessing. It wasn't about offense, and dogs was a common metaphor, especially the Jews toward Gentiles. They were considered them unclean animals and all that, or like that of a dog, like a wild dog. But Jesus was referring to pets and how you don't take food away from your children and give it to your pet to eat. But even with that, She passed the test of faith, because she was still persistent in asking him, knowing that he could do whatever he wanted to do for her, and he had compassion on her and healed the woman's daughter. And I think Jesus interacting with Gentiles periodically was to show that the Gentiles were to be a part of this too. The sheep that he has of another fold, that's what he was talking about in John 10, where he talked about that the Gentiles that would be coming, the people who had never seen him, but yet they still believe, because he concentrated in Israel, but it was always meant to go out to the rest of the world, which is what he directed them to do in Acts 1:8. So him saying Jesus was only concerned about, or Tim implying rather that Jesus was only concerned about the lost sheep of Israel and everybody else could kick rocks, that's just a misrepresentation of Jesus and his interaction with this lady, because he did heal and teach and spend time around Gentiles as well during his earthly ministry.
Here, if you're not easily offended, you can get a blessing by somebody that ain't even trying to talk to you. Ooh, Lord, I'm gonna put that in the crock pot. That was juicy.
That was good.
Mm, I felt that thing. Ooh, that's good. Okay, so anyway, Jesus had a target audience. I have a target audience. Okay, with this podcast, I'm talking to somebody that's 25 years old. That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to a whole bunch of people, because there's some people that are 55 that never got the advice they needed at 25. So they still rock. It's all good, right? Do you know that your iPhone, my iPhone is not marketed to me? The iPhone is not marketed to a 40-something-year-old African-American male who's upper middle class. The iPhone is marketed to like a 19-year-old white girl. Watch all the commercials. They are not advertising this to me. They have a target audience. But you know what happens when you hit your target? There's a splat rate. There's always a splat rate. My parents have iPhones. They're both in their 70s. Is the iPhone marketed to my parents? Two people that survived, navigated the civil rights movement? No! And they're both on their, I just wanted to FaceTime you, baby. I want to leave you a voice note. They're not using Nokias. The iPhone's not marketed to my parents, but they're part of the splat rate. It works. But if you're not focused on a target, you won't hit anything. So
by using his logic, is he saying that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was too broad? Just asking.
And you had the vision that this podcast, you felt like you were going to be speaking to 25 to 35-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about that is God is even in all the details of everything we do, because we'll go on the back end of the analytics,
mm-hmm.
and that is what it is on YouTube.
Yep.
The person we are reaching the most,
yep.
before you even said it, is like, this is what has happened.
Yeah.
It's the 25 to the 35-year-old
absolutely.
On YouTube.
Well, the book of Proverbs, most theologians agree that the book of Proverbs is Solomon writing to one of his sons who is just about to start his career, and they imagine that he's around 25 years old. They think he's around 25. So all of the Proverbs is written to a 25-year-old. Do we all read Proverbs? Can we all get something from Proverbs? Are we extracting that wisdom? Yes, we are. Was Solomon talking to us? He was not. We're part of this flat rate. Right? All Gentiles are part of this flat rate. Right? The gospel is to the Jew first and then the Gentile. It's to his chosen people and then the rest of the world. Right? So I just feel like that needs to be said. People are trying to change culture. They don't actually have any architecture to build for the culture they're trying to receive in. The basement is a whole philosophy that people have bought into. Right, it is a bona fide subculture. There's a way we dress, right? There's a way we walk. There's a way we talk. There's a way we think. There's a way that we've committed ourselves to our fidelity in God, our fidelity in Jesus, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, not living a wayward life. That's a whole philosophy that we've bought into. Now merch comes out of that. You know what I mean? Now dwellers come.
All he's talking about is marketing and making money, because he's talking about not living a wayward life, but justifying using profane language, which is taught against that. The Bible teaches against that. Isn't that wayward? So he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth on this.
The whole language, I'm a dweller. Like, you know what I mean? That's what happens in any subculture when it really takes root. A language forms. We have icons in the chat, grilled cheese and
smoothie,
butterflies for butterflies. It all becomes a subculture. And if you're part of the subculture, you know it. Somebody says Butterfly 909, and you're like,
it's filling that chat room.
Yep, it's filling that chat room, right? And then somebody, you ever stepped into a subculture and you're clueless? You're like, what is happening here? Butterfly 909, what are you guys even talking about? Right? Like, if I stepped into goth culture, it would be a steep learning curve. I don't know. What are y'all doing over here?
We got to do it, bro. We got to get chains. I want boots.
Get some black fingernails. I hope I answered the question.
You did.
Okay.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I think it's very, very important. You must know your audience first, and then you have to build a blueprint. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Only God can give you a blueprint. A man can give you a playbook. Only God can give you a blueprint. You know how you get 1,600 churches saying the same thing? Our mission at blank church is to love God and love people. It's a playbook. And the playbook works. So everybody starts running the same place. You know the churches that really have breakthrough are the churches that pray down a blueprint. God, give me an assignment for the city. Love God, love people. That's the commandment. It's not a mission statement. Who the hell are you actually after? Do you even know? Are you after wealthy white people? Because they need to not go to hell. Are you after wealthy black people? They need to not go to hell. Are you for the poor and disenfranchised? Is your church in the hood?
It's not God's will that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. Now, we know everyone is not going to believe on Jesus as Savior. We all get that, but that's the goal. So what is he talking about?
You got to know who you're talking to. If you don't know your audience, man, don't expect nothing. You're not going to get nothing. You're not going to get nothing.
No, from the world of production, I've sat in meetings where they're trying to figure out standards and stuff like that, and it's just people going back and forth on, well, these people are going to feel uncomfortable if they sit in that, and these people will feel uncomfortable if they're sitting in this. And if you're trying to make a show for everyone, you're making a show for no one.
That's exactly right.
Because no one's going to be satisfied with everyone being comfortable in this. It's like...
And that's why, as believers... we can't be worried about this audience and what this person is going to receive. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, and we are not supposed to be ashamed to preach it. And like the Bible says, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Tim is a preacher, teacher, whatever he is that is taking this out of the church to the masses. If he follows scripture, preaches the gospel, uses the scripture, which is profitable for everything that we need, you don't have to worry about all this other marketing stuff that they're talking about. But when you're trying to draw disciples unto yourself, like Paul talks about, then you have to do that. Tim seems like the type of person, like what Paul describes in 2 Timothy 4, where he's talking about the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So that's what we're seeing happen here. This is what the apostate church looks like. This is what apostate preachers look like. And what's scary and concerning is if you look under these videos and look at a lot of the comments, there are a lot of people that are loving this. I mean, it's very saddening and scary at the same time, but the Lord warned us that these things would happen. You know, they don't endure sound doctrine. They want people that will tell them what they want to hear. You know, prophesy smooth things to us, prophesy lies to us. That's what was asked. They talked about even in the Old Testament, the ancient Israel, same thing. They didn't want the truth. So this is what Tim is talking about here. He is basically heaping disciples unto himself. And so let's listen to some more of this.
To me.
Absolutely.
Give me my diagnosis.
Absolutely correct.
And give me the appropriate medicine.
That's absolutely correct, man. That's absolutely correct. And this is why, you know, God told us to step into a digital space through podcasting where there are 5 million registered podcasts. We have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube.
209.
Snap. Well, praise Jesus.
Yeah, we'll be at 210 by the end of the night.
Find your perfect pair of glasses.
Okay, okay. Praise Him. I get happy because every number represents a person and every person has a soul, so that just makes me happy. Oh, that makes me happy.
We love them so much.
Oh, I do. I love them. I do. I do this for you. I do this for you. Oh, that just warmed my heart. I forgot what I was about to say now. What was I saying?
Well, Sammy was talking about church meetings, and then I rudely interrupted you with how blessed we are with all the dwellers. So.
Yeah. I don't know. But the thought kind of bumped out now. Like, I whatever I was talking about, whatever. So... Yeah, I forgot. I genuinely forgot what I was saying. I was talking about we have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. Oh, yeah. We have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You brought it back. We have over 200,000 subscribers on YouTube. It's not that our content is going to have 50 million people subscribe to it. But this content resonates with a group of people, which is why we are here. Just for the people that we feel like we resonate with, we thought, well, at least I thought, we'd have 3,000 subs in 18 months. God clearly did exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. But if the subscriber count stopped at 210, that's who we were after. It's not like, how come we're not growing anymore? If 210 is the full reach, is that not enough? You know what I mean? You got a guy that has, like, you know, 1,800 people at his church, and he's like, how come I don't have 4,000? Well, you can't enjoy what you got now if you're already thinking about what you need to get later. So, yeah, nah, man. I'm Gucci with what we got. I really am. I'm excited about what we do. I'm excited about the way we do it. I'm excited about the people that feel like this cadence, this language, this, you know what I mean, is resonating with them. It's not for everybody, right?
So we're going to leave it there just with this interview, and I just wanted to read some scripture for you. 1 John 3. And we're going to start at verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawless, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning, and for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And on that note, I say amen to John. Tim is not someone who loves his brother if he's going to encourage them to continue to revel in their sinful behavior and never change, because there is a change, like John was saying. If we're in Christ, we don't sin, at least not a lifestyle of sin. So this guy is a dangerous person. He's talking about his numbers for his YouTube channel and at least 250,000 subscribers and many more who follow him who may not be subscribers. I'm looking at these comments and I see very few that are upset about this. Most people they think this is exactly what they need. And where is it leading? It's on the broad way to destruction. This is a blind guide, and all of them who follow him will end up in the ditch just like him. So with that is my time. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Have a great rest of your day and week.
Yeah.